the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRibe English Radio Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program Today's Special. According to the solar calendar, today is the demise anniversary of the late Imam Khomeini. We invite you to listen to today's text on today's special.
والإكرام يا إلهي فاعفو
Today, Saturday, is the 4th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We would like to express our condolences on the demise anniversary of the late Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Imam Khomeini dedicated most of his life to resistance against the US-backed Pahlavi dynasty, which finally led to his downfall in the 1979 Islamic Revolution. In the pre-revolution era, he spent more than 15 years in exile for his stiff opposition to the last monarch, Muhammad Reza Pahlavi, mostly for his association with the Western imperialists. After his return from exile in February 1979, the late Imam Khomeini led the Iranian Revolution, which saw the end of the 2,500-year-old Persian monarchy. He became the supreme leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran in 1979. Every year, millions of Iranians take part in the ceremonies across the nation to mourn the anniversary of the demise of the late Imam Khomeini. Hundreds of foreign guests, including scholars and researchers, also attend the ceremony. We would like to express our condolences again on today's occasion, that is the demise anniversary of the late Imam Khomeini. Please stay tuned.
Accept my prayer, ya Rabb al-alamin, ya Rahman ya Rahim.
Political thoughts and legacy of the late Imam Khomeini. The late Imam Khomeini adamantly opposed monarchy, arguing that only rule by leading Islamic jurists would ensure Sharia. Imam Khomeini believed that Iran should strive towards self-reliance. He viewed certain elements of Western culture as being inherently decadent and corrupting influence upon the youth. His ultimate vision was for Islamic nations to converge together into a single unified power in order to avoid alignment with either side, the West or the East, and he believed that this would happen at some point in the near future. The late Imam Khomeini expressed support for the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. He states, "We would like to act according to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. We would like to be free. We would like independence." Imam Khomeini led an ascetic lifestyle, being deeply interested in mysticism, and was against the accumulation of land and wealth by the clergy. Many of Imam Khomeini's political and religious ideas were considered to be progressive and reformist by leftist intellectuals and activists prior to the revolution. Today, that is the 14th of the Khordad, according to the solar Hijri calendar, is the demise anniversary of this holy man, the late Imam Khomeini.
To me, he is Ruhullah, the spirit of Allah. And that is enough, because this name encompasses and encapsulates this great personality in history entirely. Why? There is absolutely no doubt about the importance and the significance of the position of the late leader of the Islamic Revolution, Al-Imam Al-Rahil Ayatullah al-Uzma al-Sayyid Ruhullah al-Musawi al-Khumayni أعلى الله مقامه وقدس الله نفسه الزكية, that today in the world of Islam he occupies a prominent position. And this influence was not restricted to the borders of Iran. When he came after 14 years of exile, received by millions of people, and when he departed from this earth, and his funeral was attended by millions of individuals, one of them was a villager who was asked, "Why have you come here?" He said, "By Allah, I have never left my village the entire lifespan. I've never left it, yet it was this personality that captured my heart, and I am here to mourn his passing away." Look around the world today, and in that time, and you see the influence of Imam al-Khomeini everywhere. In South Africa, people used to paint his pictures on the wall, and Nelson Mandela would say that his influence had extended to the great depth. Why? Some people came and said, in him we find profound inspiration and importantly hope. The apartheid regime came forward and said, let us have an agreement, let us exchange oil in order for us to recognize you. Imam said, we do not make deals with racism. We do not stand with this type of relationship. You look at Iraq, the great scholar, Ayatullah al-Uzma, al-Sayyid al-Shaheed, Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, Ridwanullahi alayhi, what does he say? In his famous statements, he says, ذُوبُوا فِي الْإِمَامِ الْخُمَيْنِ. Dissolve yourself in the personality of Imam al-Khumayni, كَمَا ذَابَ هُوَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. Exactly how he annihilated himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Imam Khomeini's personal features and characteristics. The late Imam Khomeini had a very strong and powerful personality marked by his power to resist hardships and difficulties. He was outspoken in declaring his position. He was honest. He used to speak with sincerity. All those who listened to Imam felt honesty in his statements. These were Imam's personal attractions. Faith and reliance on Allah the Exalted were visible in his behavior and his statements on an equal basis. Both his behavior and his statements were signs of faith and reliance on God the Almighty. These were Imam's attractions. Some of his attractions were related to the principles that he presented. For example, one of the things that he presented to the people was Islam, original and Muhammadi Islam. Original Islam is a kind of Islam which is neither fettered by a reactionary outlook nor by syncretism. During a time when these two things existed together, reactionary outlook and syncretism, Imam Rahmatullah advocated the original Islam. This was attractive to the Muslim youth. One of the principles that existed in Imam's slogans was independence. Other principles included freedom and social and economic justice. These were the principles that the late Imam Khomeini brought up. These are all attractive.
When his son, Sayyid Mustafa, rahmatullahi alayh, was assassinated, when he heard the news, people expected him to close and not to teach in the Hawza for a number of days. He said, no. وَهَبَنَا اللَّهُ نِعْمَةً وَقَدْ إِسْتَرْجَعَهَا الْآنَ. Allah gave us a favor, a blessing in the shape of Sayyid Mustafa, and now he's taking him away. He's taking him back. It didn't affect him, yet something else affected him. One day, one of his students, I think it was Shaheed Mutahhari, said that he didn't come unusually to his class in the Hawza. Imam al-Khumayni doesn't miss his classes, yet he didn't turn up for 3 days. They went and they saw him sweating. He was feverish. He was ill. They said to him, Sayyiduna, what has happened? Are you ill? He turned towards them and said, I was sitting with a group of people and one individual had the audacity to speak ill of another individual who happens to be a scholar. I cannot fathom to be in a gathering where backbiting take place. The effect of backbiting was so profound that it affected his physical health. This was Imam al-Khumayni. And if you look at many other examples in history, this idea manifests itself. When he was sitting on the plane coming back from France in order to declare to the world this great revolution, the New York Times reporter was sitting next to him. Some of you may have seen this clip. He asked the Imam, he said, Sayyid al-Khumayni, what is your feeling now? Can you describe your emotions? How are you going through now? What would you say? The Imam didn't even raise his eyes. He has his eyes down. And he said one word that shall remain forever. The sign of his complete tabattul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know what he said? Do you know what his emotion was? He said, hich. Nothing. Allahu Akbar. Imam al-Khumayni, the greatest revolution, one of the greatest in the history of the world, and he's asked to explain and to display his emotion, what he thinks, and he said nothing. Why? Why did he say nothing? Today in the West, they may say, he may not have any emotions. He's not displaying what any other human beings would do wrong. Imam al-Khumayni saw power as a means, not the goal. Because for him, the pleasure of Allah, liqa'ullah, is the most important. That for him was the ultimate joy. Everything else was the path towards that. Therefore, he said nothing. What I feel now is not any different to any other times.
Today, the 14th of Khordad is the demise anniversary of this great man, the late Imam Khomeini. We would like to express our condolences on this sad occasion to you all dear listeners and Muslims all across the world. Thank you very much for staying with us in the program today's special on IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and condolences to you all on the 32nd passing away anniversary of the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Sayyid Ruhollah Musavi al-Khumayni, may God bless his soul. And here are words of wisdom from the Holy Prophet's first infallible successor, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Old people, man enjoys 10 characteristics that the tongue reveals. Hence, the tongue is a witness that divulges the hidden, a judge that forms an opinion, a speaker that provides answers, an interceder by which the needs are settled, a describer by which things are recognized, a commander that enjoins good, a preacher that forbids evil, a consolatory that calms the grief, a thankful by which hatred is removed, and a soother that amuses the hearings.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on the Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful Hadith which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. This Hadith is about friendship and who we should befriend. You know, friendship is one of those very important parts of a person's life, and it can have an effect both on a person's felicity in this world and in the hereafter. You know, there's a very famous verse in the Holy Quran in which God narrates and says, quotes from a person, a wretched person in the hereafter. And in that verse, this person is quoted to say that my wretchedness is because of my befriending a person who was wretched. And this person laments this and says, I wish that I hadn't taken such a person, so-and-so, as a friend, if he misguided me and led me astray from the straight path. So, you know, friendship is very important. And fortunately, in the hadith of the Ayyama alayhim as-salam, we have been told about, you know, the characteristics of a person whom we should befriend, and about friendship in general. You know, this is very beautiful and very informative. These hadiths are numerous, they're multiple, and you know, and it's, it behooves us, and we should know these hadiths and read them and learn from them. One of the hadiths in question is this hadith that we're going to narrate for you today regarding friendship from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Friendship can only succeed when its conditions are fulfilled, and he who fulfills all or some of these conditions may be befriended. And if not, then do not attribute any of your friendship to him. The first of these conditions is that he should treat you in public the same as he treats you in private." Right? So one of the conditions is that he treats you behind your back the way he treats you to your face. He shouldn't be hypocritical with respect to you and your friendship. He shouldn't praise you in front of you, but behind you he's scolding you or talking bad about you. Well, so this is the first condition. Secondly, that your source of pride is a source of pride for him, and your source of shame is a source of shame for him. You know, if you, let's say that you become successful in something in one of your pursuits, and you know it leads to your happiness, and it's a source of pride for you. He should also feel a source of pride for you. He shouldn't become sad at this. If he becomes sad at this, it's a sign that he's envious of you. He's not really your friend. Finally, the Imam alayhi salam says, thirdly, that neither position nor wealth should change him towards you, right? Meaning if you're poor and then you become rich, right? Your friendship shouldn't change because of it. Or vice versa, if you were rich and he was your friend and now you're poor, you know, his friendship shouldn't change in the least because of that. A fourth thing that the Imam says is that he must not prevent you from obtaining that which you have the capacity for. And if you have the potential for something, this person shouldn't become a hindrance to the actualization of your potentials. And fifthly, that this sums up all other qualities that he must not give up on you in times of misfortune, right? If you're misfortunate, if you're at loss, then he should not give up on your friendship. He should continue his friendship with you. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the qualities of the good friend in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد عجل فرجه.
So let me say that welcome back everyone, respected brothers and sisters, thanks for being with us. So let's continue with the letters. So can you say ضلال في ضلال مبين
ضلال
okay that's it, that's the letter ضلال. So Hussein Ruhullah, repeat this five letters that we have studied so far. Four letters, five letters, yes. ثا
ح
صاد ضاد four letters. So say them. ذال as well.
Yeah.
ذا ح ذال صاد ضاد. Say it once. So say them.
ذا ح ذال صاد ضاد.
ضاد. أحسن ما شاء الله. Say it علي ناصر please.
ذا ح بال صاد ضاد.
Okay. ذال صاد and ضاد. فوات.
ضال.
No, the first one. ثا.
ثا. ها.
ح.
ح.
Okay. The next one. ذال.
ذال.
Okay.
ضاد.
صاد and
صاد.
صاد and ضاد. That's great. حسين موسى.
What was the word? I mean the letters.
ثا.
ثا.
ح.
ح.
ذال.
ذال.
صاد.
ضاد.
That's great. Repeat after me. ثا.
ثا
ح
ح
ذال
ذال
صاد
صاد
ضاد
ضاد.
One more time, our brothers and sisters as well should repeat with us. ثا
ثا
ح
ح
ذال
ذال
صاد
صاد
ضاد
ضاد.
Alhamdulillah, we learned.
Alhamdulillah.
That's very easy, right? So you just need to pay close attention. So now if you recite the words of the Quran Kareem, the ayahs, the verses of the Quran Kareem, Alhamdulillah, you will not make any mistake with these letters. That's easy. So that is all about Tajweed. Tajweed talks about these things. It makes it easy.
Yeah.
Now, if you recite it, it's beautiful as well, and it's correct as well. The way Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Imams were reciting. Okay? That's it. So, ready to go and cover the next letters?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So, the next letter is after dot,
ta.
Ta. This is a little difficult, yes? No. We don't have this in English, right?
Ta.
No, we don't have this.
We don't have this. So, ta. Fawad, can you say how to do it? Ta.
You make an ah sound while saying the normal ta, but with boldness.
Ta. That's it. Make the letter ta like a bold one. Okay, make it bold and produce an ah sound with it. Ali Nasir, is that correct?
Yeah.
How to say it?
We will bold the T.
The T, the ta sound, right?
Ta sound.
Okay. And with an A sound.
Yeah.
That's correct. Say in Musa.
So we just say va, and we apply more pressure, and we say A, like ta.
Ta.
To be ta.
That's nice. That's nice. Say Rahullah.
Yeah, it's also like va. We will put our tongue in front of her teeth and we'll say ta.
Okay, ta. Normally,
so it will become ta.
So, let's say this way. So, put your tongue at the back of your front upper teeth. Everyone do it.
Ta.
Ta.
Make it. Now say the letter ta. Ta. Ta.
Ta.
The normal ta.
Ta.
No, but do not say it like this. While your tongue is, the tip of your tongue is at the back of your front upper teeth, say the letter ta.
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 Ta. Now make it an awesome sound.
Ta.
Ta. It's very easy.
Ta.
You did it.
Yes.
So first, the first thing you need to do is bring your tongue forward, place it at the back of your front teeth. Now, say the letter ta. Ta.
Ta.
Ta.
Ta.
Ta. Make an awesome sound.
Ta.
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 Stretch the sound. Ta.
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 Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You did it. Ta. Ta. So, who can say some words in Arabic?
Ataina.
What?
Ataina.
Ataina, that's T sound. But Ataina, that's yeah. Inna
A'taina.
Taina. Great. Inna A'taina. Kal Kawthar. Say Musa.
Tul.
Tul. That is not in Quran, I think.
Yeah.
That is an Arabic word.
Tur.
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 Yes.
Tur. Next.
Taha. Taha.
Yeah. Taha. That's good. Taha.
Yes.
Any other word?
Taha.
What?
Taha.
Taha. Yes. Kalla inna al-insana la yatgha.
Yes.
Yatgha. Okay, so let's repeat these words together. Try saying the word. Sirat.
Sirata.
Okay, Sirata. Nice. Tahir.
Tahir.
Tathira.
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 Yutahhirakum.
Yutahhirakum.
Tathira.
Tathira.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Okay, do not forget that ah sound. Okay.
طان.
Good. So, I think okay. Let's read practice the other letters as well. Then, inshallah, we'll recite Surah Al-Hamd together because it's wajib in the Quran and prayers. Okay, to recite it correctly with tajweed. Okay, for the students of Quran, actually. Okay, so let's do the next letter. That's easy, right? Ta.
Yes.
Do you have anything to... Okay, so it's easy. No questions, right? So yes. One more time from tha to ta. For what? Tha.
Tha.
Ha.
Ha.
No, no. Ha.
Ha.
No, no. Ha. Use ha. The middle of your throat.
Ha.
Ha. That's good. That's good. Don't forget it. Middle of your throat here. Ha.
Ha.
That's nice. Thal.
Thal.
Sod.
Sod.
Dod.
Dod.
Ta.
Ta.
When pronouncing the letter sod, you don't need to circle your mouth this way. Sod. No. Sod. Look, simple. Your mouth opens this way. Sod. Not this way. Sad. No. Sod. The letter sad, we say. Say sod. That's it.
Sod.
That's it. All the letters, like sod, thod, ta, va. You don't need to circle your mouth. Okay?
Yeah.
Swad, duad. If you say swad, duad, it makes an O sound. That's wrong. Sad.
It's A
sound. Tad.
Yes.
Ta. La. The next letter. Okay? That's good. That's good. Hussein Musa. Tha. Ha. Repeat them.
Tha. Ha.
Thal.
Thal. Sad. Dad.
And? Ta.
Ta.
That's good. Hussain Ruhullah.
Fa, ha, thal. Fa, ha, thal. Sad, dad, ta.
That's nice. Ali Nasir.
Fa, ha, tha, sad, bad, ta.
Ta, mashallah. So repeat after me. One more time. Let's perfect them, okay?
Yeah.
They are important. Till the end of reciting the Quran Karim, they are important. Fa.
Fa.
Fa. Ha.
Ha.
Thal.
Thal.
Sad.
Sad.
Dad.
Dad.
Ta.
Ta.
The next letter is la.
Va.
Va.
Did you, do you remember that when we were producing the sound of thal, it was like a vibrating sound?
Yes.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغار حراء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Now try to vibrate the sound again, but put your tongue at the edge of your front upper teeth.
The.
Or at the back of your front upper teeth.
The.
Make it an O sound.
The.
The.
That's it. Yes?
The. Sure, we say ta, but we add a
vibrating sound?
Simple as ta, but we add beside of ta, we say da.
The. Yeah, that's it, but it's a little difficult to understand like that. I think, like, we have to put your tongue, okay, at the kind of edge of your front upper teeth. This way. Put your tongue, the tip of your tongue, at the edge of your front upper teeth. This one's, not the lower ones, no. This one.
Yeah.
Now say the letter dhal, but don't say dhal. Say it dha without an L at the end and make it an O sound.
Dhal.
Va. Va. It has a heavy sound. I mean, use the full of your mouth, okay? Va.
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 Va. Va. That's good. Your Va. Tongue should not come out, okay?
Yeah.
If it comes out, okay, the cat will eat it. So, va.
Va.
Va. Va. Va. Va. Va. Okay. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ
وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ
Great أَظْلَمُ
أَظْلَمُ
Okay. ظَاهِر
ظَاهِر
ظَاهِر Do not say طَاهِر. No. طَاهِر is another word. ظَاهِر
ظَاهِر
It has a heavy vibrating sound, yes?
Yes.
If it is a Chinese mobile phone, okay, it produces that sound.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Let me not say Chinese, that's bad. So if it is like a second-hand mobile phone, okay, it produces that kind of vibrating sound, okay? Yes? Or yes. When your mobile phone is on the table.
Yeah, it vibrates.
Yes. Law. Law. Law.
Law.
Yeah. Zalimin.
Zalimin. Zalimin.
Mazlum.
Mazlum.
That's it. That's it. Alhamdulillah, you learned the letter law as well. So, the last, yes. You have any question?
No.
Okay. The last important letter is the letter. What letter do you think it is?
Qaf.
Qaf is easy. Just it has like an elevating sound.
Hamza. Okay.
Yeah.
Before Hamza, there is another letter. Ta, la. After la.
Ayn.
Ayn.
Yeah.
These five letters in a row, they are important. Sad, dad, ta, la, ayn. Look. These five letters in a row, they are important. So, ayn, okay? Yes. So, let's say it. Ayn.
Ayn.
Is it like a tongue? You use your tongue or your throat?
Throat.
Yes.
Ayn. The same as how you use the middle of your throat.
Ayn.
Ayn. Ayn.
Yes.
Okay? Ayn. Ayn. Say apple.
Apple.
Say it apple.
Apple.
Apple. That's good. That's good. Apple, okay? This is important. The letter Ayn and the letter Ghain are the most difficult letters for the non-Arabic speakers, those who are new in learning of the Quran Kareem. But alhamdulillah for you, it's easy. Ayn.
Ayn.
Remember to use your middle of your throat. Ayn. So one more time. Let's repeat all the letters. Inshallah, in the next coming sessions, we will continue reciting and applying the pronunciation of the letters, the articulation points in the verses of the Quran Kareem. Okay? So let's say, Tha.
Ha,
ha,
thal,
thal,
sod,
sod,
dod,
dod,
ta,
ta,
za,
za,
ayn,
ayn.
So these eight letters are important. Yes. Okay. So alhamdulillah, the first topic in our Quranic sessions level 3 tajweed is about. It's kind of done. Yes.
Yes.
It's
yes.
finished. Okay. So inshallah, the next sessions we will practice. This the articulation points in the verses of the Quran Kareem. See you inshallah in the next coming sessions. Please stay with us because this series of Quranic sessions are very important and they are valuable, really. So we really give thanks to IRB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network, especially the students of Sevier International School and the teacher. Thank you so much. Thanks for being with us. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You want to say bye-bye, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. See you, inshallah, guys.
See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See you. So, walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي معتذرا نادما منكسرا
Listeners, as you were with us, we were talking about this part of the Kumail supplication. وَقَدْ أَتَيْتُكَ يَا إِلَهِي بَعْدَ تَقْسِيرِي وَإِسْرَافِي عَلَى نَفْسِي. Now I have turned to you, my Allah, after my shortcomings and my immoderation toward myself. مُعْتَذِرًا نَادِمًا مُنْكَسِرًا مُسْتَقِيلًا مُسْتَغْفِرًا مُنِيبًا مُقِرًا مُذْعِنًا مُعْتَرِفًا. I am preferring my excuse. I am regretful, broken, apologizing, and I'm asking for forgiveness. I'm repenting, acknowledging, submissive, and confessing. It is very interesting that Imam Ali alayhi salam in this section is mentioning all the traits that somehow attract Allah's mercy and forgiveness. First, he talks about complete concentration and focus in worship. وَقَدْ أَتَيْتُكَ يَا إِلَهِ. I have turned to you, I have turned to no one else. I have no one else to turn to, and that is why I have come to you with my heart. The first secret that Imam Ali alayhi salam is talking about is the turning of the heart towards Allah. We sufficiently, I assume, talked about the importance of turning towards Allah and the functions of the soul in the previous episode of the program. Now, one of the conditions of the heart that must be attained before starting the supplication is the humiliation and softening of the heart. I assume we have previously mentioned the state of riqqatul qalb, the tender-heartedness of the supplicant. I mean, the supplicant must try to soften his heart, because when the heart becomes tender, it is the time that it opens up. It is the time that the veils between the supplicant and Allah are lifted, and he is, as a result, nearer to Allah. Let me read for you, dear listeners, an interesting tradition. It is reported that among things that Allah the Exalted revealed to Prophet Musa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi wasalam was that it was said to him, O Musa, stretch your hands before me in humility, like a humble servant calling his master for help. If you did that, you will be showered with mercy, as I am the most kind of those who are kind and powerful. And it seems that the purpose behind this particular mode of prayer, I mean, stretching our hands towards Allah while we supplicate, is not clear for some, but the skeptics were putting people in doubt as to the mode of supplication. They would say, why do we raise our hands towards Allah? Is Allah existing in the skies? Why should we raise our hands toward the skies? And for this reason, the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam used to explain to the people that Allah the Exalted is present everywhere, But we somehow take up this particular mode of prayer as a mark of humility and neediness toward Allah. Sometimes the action itself affects the heart. The state of riqqatul qalb is reached sometimes by this state, because raising the two hands is a sign of humility and indigence. This mark has a kind of inspiring effect in softening of the heart.
But now I have turned to you, my Lord, after being guilty of omissions and transgressions against my soul. Apologetically, repentantly, brokenheartedly, begging earnestly for forgiveness, yieldingly confessing as I can find no escape from that which was done by me, and having no refuge to which I could turn except seeking your acceptance of my excuse, and admitting me into the realm of your encompassing mercy.
Thank you, Allah,
now that we're here,
feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So we were discussing the importance of softening of the heart, which is the very moment of descent of Allah's mercy. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this part of the supplication, is saying, وَقَدْ أَتَيْتُكَ يَا إِلَهِ, I have turned to you. We talked about the state of turning towards Allah, that iqbal from the heart, and now the state of softening and humility of the heart, that is from among the important prerequisites of acceptance of prayer. And Imam Ali alayhi salam is interestingly and beautifully pointing to this very important secret. Of course, this should not imply that there is a specified time for the coming down of Allah's mercy, but receiving of His mercy has a specified time and a particular state, which is the state of tenderness. That is why the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is reported to have said, avail yourself of the opportunity of prayer at softening of the heart, because softening of the heart is mercy. In fact, according to some of our traditions, the acceptance of prayer has direct connection with the state of heart, with the state of humiliation of the heart. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, when your skin quivers and your eyes shed tears, then you have drawn closer. Your need has been considered. And if any one of you becomes softened, then let him pray, because the heart does not soften until it has become pure. This means the more humble the heart becomes, the closer the supplicant will be to the response. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Ya Allah, don't let me go astray.
cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close, close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. English Radio.
This is Foresight, a program on how to worship Allah.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
Today's tip: what should one do in order to gain a real pleasure in their worship, their ubudiyah, and their servitude to Allah?
Allah, Allah, Allahu Rabbi, la sharika lahu.
So dear listeners, when we are talking about the secrets of what we should do in order to increase our pleasure and our satisfaction and our contentment in our ubudiyah, there is a certain subject which comes up, and that is to have a cheerfulness of the heart when it comes to our worship and our obedience to Allah. Now, here, a cheerful heart, of course, it means that when we go to do our prayers, or when we go to do our supplications, our du'as, or the different litanies and the different dhikr, remembrance of Allah, or the tasbih, the glorification of Allah via a rosary beads, or whether it is the daily prayers, which is the pillar of deen, we have to have a cheerful heart when it comes to these different kinds of worship and obedience to Allah. Now, of course, as it makes sense, if we go into these prayers and this different worship of Allah with a heart which is, for example, depressed, or a heart which is sad, then we won't be able to truly benefit fully from these worship. Now, yes, there are times when one is overwhelmed by certain problems or issues that arise in one's life, and one might feel a little bit down when they go in to recite their daily prayers or their worship of Allah or their ubudiyah. But of course, we should try to shed these problems at least for the time that we are having our conversation with the Almighty Allah. And it is with this relative cheerfulness of heart, this happiness and this bliss in our heart, if nothing else, with this in mind, that we are going to the presence of Allah, we are going into the metaphorical court of Allah, and in the presence of Allah.